Our first scripture lesson today is taken from 1 Chronicles 29, verses 10 through 20. Listen to the word of the Lord. Then David blessed the Lord in the presence of all the assembly. David said, "Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of our ancestor Israel, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, are the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and on the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and it is in your hand to make great and to give strength to all. And now, our God, we give thanks to you and praise your glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to make this free will offering? For all things come from you, and of your own have we given you. For we are aliens and transients before you, as were all our ancestors. Our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there is no hope. O Lord our God, All this abundance that we have provided for building you a house for your holy name comes from your land and from your hand and is all your own. I know, my God, that you search the heart and take pleasure in uprightness. In the uprightness of my heart, I have freely offered all of these things, and now I have been your people. We are present here, offering freely and joyously to you. O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our ancestors, keep forever such purposes and thoughts in the hearts of your people, and direct their hearts toward you. Grant to my son Solomon that which single-mindedly he may keep your commandments, your decrees, and your statutes, performing all of them, and that he may build the temple for which I have made provision." Then David said to the whole assembly, "Bless the Lord your God." And all the assembly blessed the Lord, and God blessed the Lord and God of their ancestors, and bowed their heads and prostrated themselves before the Lord and the king. This is the word of the Lord.
For 6 months, we have been looking at the life of David and what it means to live with a heart for God, because David was called a man after God's own heart. And today, we come to the last sermon in that series. I'm sure you're all very sad. but this is called David's final words. It's actually not the final words of David recorded in the Bible, but it's sort of recorded as his final summary. If you want to know what David's life was all about, here's what I want you to remember. His final public address, if you will. And we have two different accounts of that public address, one from Chronicles and one from 2 Samuel. And it's sort of interesting, I think, to think. If you were given a final public address, if you knew that you were near the end of your life, if you were given 3 months to live, so to speak, and we invited you, you know what, we really want to hear your collected wisdom. What's your life all about? What words do you have to pass on to us? In many ways, we always do this in the last will and testament of our life, but it's mostly about how we want our things taken care of and provisions to be made so that our family doesn't fight over our stuff. But if you had a last public address, if I invited you to come up here, you know, hey, we know you're about to pass away. What wisdom do you have for us? What do you want us to remember about you? What do you want recorded for posterity so that generations later they can find this one paragraph, this one page, to hear what your life was about? And that's what we hear now from David as we turn our attention to his big takeaway. What does David want us to take away from his life? We've been studying his life for 6 months. What does David want us to get out of it? What does David want you to remember about him? So we turn our attention now to 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 1 through 7. Hear once again the word of the Lord. Now these are the last words of David, the oracle of David, son of Jesse, the oracle of the man whom God exalted, the anointed of the God of Jacob, the favorite of the strong one of Israel. The Spirit of the Lord speaks through me. His word is upon my tongue. The God of Israel has spoken. The Rock of Israel has said to me, one who rules over people justly, ruling in fear of God, is like the light of the morning, like the sun rising on a cloudless morning, gleaming from the rain of the grassy land. Is not my house like this with God? For he has made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and secure. Will he not cause to prosper all my help and my desire? But the godless are like thorns that are thrown away, for they cannot be picked up with the hand. To touch them, one uses an iron bar or the shaft of a spear, and they are entirely consumed in fire on the spot. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You know, genealogy is one of my hobbies. I enjoy doing research on our family history, and actually it all got started. My mom came to me when I was in high school, and she said, oh, your cousin Barb died. And I said, who? Oh, you don't remember her? You met her when you were 2 years old at a family reunion. I'm like, nope, sorry, can't remember. You know, it's just, and then it was, actually 6 months after that, I forget who it was your great uncle Dave died. I was going, who's Dave? Oh, you don't remember? You met him that one time at the, we had a Christmas party, he came over. I'm like, I said, oh, hold on, let me write this down. List every family member. If anyone dies, I want to know who they are. So I wrote it out, and then I started researching and getting more into it. I wanted a family tree. Who are all these people? How's this going? And so I've really gotten into it. A week or so ago, my father and I went to trace down the roots of my fifth great-grandfather. So my great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, John Inhall, who was, actually they settled on when Ohio was still frontier, around the time this church was founded, they lived just a little over an hour from here in Wells Township, Ohio. And so we went to the library there, and he's the last ancestor. We can never get beyond that. So I was thinking, if we can go to the place where he died, maybe we can find his grave, maybe we can find some information, we can find where he was born, and we can find his parents and go back further. And it was interesting. We found a couple of things that were, sorry, we're getting off subject a little. I was just excited about this. And we found out that he was the trustee of the local church near his house. And we went and found, the church is long gone, but we found the foundations of the church and the graveyard there, where we think he may be buried, but you know, only a third of the tombstones are still legible. But we found the land transfer, saying that the land was given to the church, and we found his last will and testament. And in his last will and testament, he says, I'm in failing mind, I'm in failing body, but perfect mind, and I'm humbly thankful for the great author of all our blessing. My fifth great-grandfather was a believer. And at the end of his life, looking back, he wrote, I know almost nothing about him other than he lived in this place, he was a trustee of this church, and his last will and testament said he was humbly thankful for the great author of all our blessing. His last words that he wanted to pass down, that we, his descendants, find 7 generations later, he was humbly thankful to the author of all this blessing, all that was good in his life. He wanted to give thanks to God. I think that's pretty cool that 200 years later, I know that about him. So what would you do? What would you write down? And have you given any thought to your last will and testament? Just a reminder, be sure you have a last will and testament. It always surprises everyone, but and we have tools in the office to help you do that, so stop on down. What would you want said about your life? What would you want? And actually, in the tools I have in the office, you can write your own obituary. You get the final word. Isn't that nice? Help your family. You don't want your kids making up stuff about you. I guess. Dad was a real jerk, and he used to spank me. No, I'm kidding. They would never do that. No, so here we are. Back to the text. David. You know, and he's called her. He's the exalted one, the one who God lifted up. We're told he was the oracle, the one God exalted, the strong one, the favorite of the strong one of Israel. So David has a lot going for him. We've been studying his life for 6 months. At the beginning of this, I told you, more ink was spent describing the life of David than any human being from that millennia. More ink was spilt on David's life than anyone of the preceding 1,000 years before him. We know, oh, Pharaoh so-and-so did this and built this, and there's maybe 3 sentences about all the pharaohs who came before. David, there's pages and books written about him at the time. We know more about his life, his ancient life, or than anyone else in the ancient world from that time or before. Know more about his life than anyone preceding him in human history. David's life was special. There's a lot to be said for David's life. So as you're summing it up, what are the things that David could have said? David had quite the resume. And because of the chroniclers of the time, we know a lot about David's life. He could have talked about his great military victories. Remember when he slayed a giant as a child when he was a teenager? Well, that's impressive. David killed Goliath. Or his victory at Keilah or Ziklag, or when he conquered Jerusalem for the first time. He could have talked about his astounding mercy to his enemies, to Saul, to Mephibosheth, to, how many examples were there of God, David showing mercy that other people didn't deserve? He could have talked about the great loves of his life, how he came to be with Abigail, how he came to be with Bathsheba. I feel like if I was writing a summary of my life, Andrea would at least get a footnote, right? Yeah. He could have talked about his hard-learned lessons, the greatest stumbles of his life and what he learned from them. He could have talked about his failure with Uriah. He could have talked about Ammon and Absalom. He could have talked about the census and the trouble it caused. He could have talked about all these things. You know, when I stumbled, that's when I lifted up. That's when I grew the most. And I want you to learn from my mistakes. He could have talked about that. He could have talked about his religious advances, how he came into possession of the ephod and was able to discern the will of God. He could have talked about how he found the ark of God and brought it in from the outskirts of Israel. He could have talked about how he established Jerusalem as the capital and wanted to put the religious tent at the center of the city so that God would be center of his kingdom. He could have talked about all of these things that we spent 6 months studying. But what's David's takeaway? When David looks back at his life, his impressive resume, the incredible things that he did, the risks that he took, the times when he walked through an enemy camp in the middle of the night, the times when he risked his life, the times when he put it all on the line and risked it for God and came out on top, of all of the incredible stories he could tell, what does David want us to know? David says, if you want to know what's important about my life, you know what? God has spoken to me. Actually, in the 2 Samuel 23 passage, 4 times, David says, here's my final words. God has something to say. The Spirit of the Lord has spoken to me. His word is upon my tongue. The God of Israel has spoken. The Rock of Israel has said this to me. 4 times, God is speaking. Just stop right there. You want to know what's important to my life? You want to know what's really important? Then you need to go look at the Word of God. You want to know what's most valuable to me? What my big takeaway is? If you are going to emulate my life, if you want to know what's important to me, hear now the Word of the Lord. That's what you need to take away. David doesn't draw any attention to himself. His final words aren't, "Let me bestow my great wisdom upon you." His final words are, "God has something to say to you. And you would do well to listen to it." His final act is to draw your attention to God's word. David's final words, you shouldn't be concerned about David's final words. You should be concerned about God's enduring word. About 10 years ago, we were at the funeral of my grandfather's best friend. And this is someone, they used to go on mission trips together all the time. And he was just one of those people that he would light up the room, any room he walked into. Great guy. His name was Rusty. And we were at his funeral, and have you ever been to a bad funeral? Have you ever been to a funeral where it's just like, boy, they really just completely missed the mark on this guy. And, you know, so the preacher, who I actually knew because we had gone on mission trips together, because my grandfather liked taking me on mission trips, and he and his best friend went together, and I'd spent a lot of time getting to know these people in rural Ecuador and Mexico and Indianapolis, and I can't remember where all we went. And he had an incredible life, incredible testimony. And they spent the whole time just sort of, oh, we're going to miss him. He was a nice guy. And just sort of your average, yeah, he was a nice guy. We get it. I mean, thanks. But at a funeral, he was a nice guy. Not exactly the great revelation we're all looking for. We know he was a nice guy. We all knew him. What else? And his daughter got up, and she had gone through some rough times, and she said, you know, I said to my dad one time, I don't know what I would do if anything ever happened to you, because you're my rock. You know, Dad, you're the one who's always there for me. You're the anchor in the storm. And she said, Rusty stopped and looked at her. He said, then I haven't done a very good job, because I can't be your rock. I can't be your anchor. Jesus Christ is your anchor. And if you take anything away from me being your father, let it be that. And I remembered that because I said, yes, that is exactly what he wanted us to take away from his life. When I'm gone, I want you to remember, Jesus Christ is your foundation. Don't trust in me. Don't trust in my goodness. That's not what you should take away. That's not the example I want. David said the same thing. The takeaway is that you need to ground yourself in God's holy word. God has something to say to you. God is speaking into your life. He's written this entire book, not to sit on a bookshelf, but because he wants you to hear. David, at the end of his life, you want to know what my life is about? Look to that. That's what my life was about. My life was about God's word. And he goes on. He talks in both of these passages, he talks about, you know, so God is speaking, go to the word of the Lord. That's first what David's takeaway. Second takeaway. Okay, yes, God has spoken to me. That's great. God lifted me up. Then what? Then I did all these great things. No, that's not what David says. Second, God has spoken to me, and God has done great things. All of the blessings of my life are from God. I'm offering up offerings today, but they're offerings that have come from God. God has anointed me. God has lifted me up. God has done great things for me. So God has spoken, and then God has acted. I bless God. I give thanks to him. I praise him because he has been at work in my life. He has been at work in this world. God has spoken. He has something to say to us, and he is actively at work seeing it through. David takes stock of his whole life, of all of his great accomplishments, and he doesn't say, I did a lot of cool things in my life. He says, God has done great things for me, and I bless him for it. There's not enough that I could do. And then David goes on, who am I? Who are my people that God should do these things? David is humbled at the end of his life. David is the great king, the greatest king in the golden age of Israel's history, has done more than any king past or since. And he says, who am I? I'm nobody that God should be at work through me and have done these great things. Who am I? He's completely humbled at the end of it all. I can't believe that God did this for me. I can't believe that God would do these things. And then, So God's word, God has done great things. I'm nobody. I don't deserve this. And finally, the final revelation is that God is going to continue to be at work, bringing about his everlasting covenant. David, at the end of his life, is looking to the future. How many of us, the more life goes on, the more we start complaining about, oh, the aches and pains, and my foot's acting up this week, and it's been driving me crazy, and, you know, it's just, and I was telling someone about, oh, my foot's acting up again, and, oh, yeah, it's a sign that you're getting older, and I know, it's just, you know, but when you get to the end of your life, it's easy to sort of, your mind is focused on the sunset, isn't it? I mean, how many retirement communities are called Sunset Acres and something corny like that, and, you know, and David, at the end of his life, he's saying, a righteous ruler is like the sun rising in the dawn, glistening over fields. David, at the end of his life, isn't looking back at the great things he's accomplished. He isn't looking back at how I used to be in better health or things used to be better. He isn't thinking about the sun setting. He's thinking about the sun rising. The sun is going to rise, and it's going to be beautiful because God has promised his everlasting covenant that he's going to raise up a righteous ruler. And I look forward to that day. David, at the end of his life, is thinking about God's promises to bring the Messiah. He's thinking about resurrection. He's thinking about the sun rising. David, at the end of his life, is pointing to the one who would, the Davidic king who will come after him. David wants us to know, above all, if you want to know what my life is about, know that God has spoken, know that God has been at work, know that I'm nobody, and know that the king is coming. The true king, the righteous one of Israel. He's coming to rule. If you want to know what my life was about, let my life be pointed to the person of Jesus Christ, the son who will rise on the third day, the true king whose throne will be established forever. David was excited at the end of his days, looking to the future, wondering how God was going to fulfill this great promise, and certain that it was going to come to pass because God had said so. God has made an everlasting covenant and ordered all things and secure. It was secure because God said so. David trusted it to be true. David, at the end of his life, was optimistic, joyful, hopeful that the king was coming. What is our takeaway from David's life? When we look back at all that we've studied, all that we've thought about, all the time we've spent looking at his life, we know what it means to live with a heart for God. We know what it is to be excited at his word, excited that his king has come and will come again, and we look forward to the day of that promised resurrection. When we think about our ancestors and all of their accomplishments, I like to imagine what all the things they did that I'll never know about, but I look forward to the day when we'll stand together in God's kingdom, knowing that they too were believers. Knowing that Jesus is going to return, and one day we will stand upon the earth, worshiping him, as David calls us to do, blessed are you, O Lord, and calling the whole assembly to bless the Lord your God and give thanks for all that he has done. Friends, this is the good news of the gospel. Amen.